For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday afternoon, December the 31st, 2003. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is the speaker on this.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you. We thank you, Lord. We ask, Lord, for an outpouring of your revelation tonight, Lord. We thank you and praise you and bless you and glorify you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to put the war angels around this place now, Lord. Bind up any loose demons. Haul them off, Lord, in Jesus' name. Speak revelation to the people in Jesus' name. Amen. Yesterday, we talked about the Amorite spirit. And we said that the Amorite spirit was to be high and lifted up, pride. And we said a proud and haughty man, scorner, is his name. And we said a scorner will not receive correction. He is stubborn and unteachable. Has a strong self-will, and he's unteachable. And so you get the strong self-willed spirit, the unteachable spirit, the deceived spirit, the deceiving spirits all come in because of the scorner. The scorner is a gossiper and a liar, an exaggerator, boastful. We also said that pride, quoted Nehemiah 9:16, that said they acted proudly, they stiffened their neck, as in the rebellion. The stiff neck indicates stubbornness. And rebellion is an iniquity. And so people who are proudful become rebellious and stubborn. And we said that rebellion is the same word as bitterness. And if you become bitter, stay rebellious, you'll become bitter. And bitterness brings unforgiveness, retaliation, hatred, murder, outburst of rage, sarcasm, which goes along with the scorning spirit, and death. That a root of bitterness will go down into you and defile you, as spoken of in Hebrews. Rebellion also will cause you to want to control and possess everything. That's the nature of rebellion. That you control, you're rebelling against the order because you want to control and you want to possess. It's witchcraft. In 1 Samuel 15, says that the sin of rebellion, for rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Now, an iniquity, stubbornness is an iniquity. Iniquity is rebellion and all its evil consequences. And idolatry means you're worshiping yourself. Now, the word used for witchcraft is also used for divination. Divination means that you're asking for knowledge from ungodly sources. You're asking for knowledge that you shouldn't have. Curiosity. You heard the old adage that curiosity killed the cat. Well, curiosity will sure draw you into the occult and kill you. And with that comes the religious spirits of the python, which is divination. Jezebel and all of her horde. I said get Mitzi Burton's book back there and read about the names of Jezebel. It's an excellent book, and I would recommend it to all of you that you should get that book and read it. She said, in her experience, all women have a certain amount of Jezebel in them. I hadn't found that to be true, but she ministers in that area, and she has a lot of anointing for it. And so I recommend that you read the book. It's a very interesting book. Jezebel, one of the Jezebel spirits is a Phoenician spirit called Ichthah, which is in the spirit of abortion and child sacrifice also. Another one is Athena, which is the goddess of wisdom. And she's also known by the name as Diana.
God is to the hunt. These are all Jezebel spirits, and each one has a little different personality. And Jezebel gathers this armoranium of likened spirits in her kingdom. And some Jezebels will be more powerful in one area than more powerful in another. These are all religious spirits. I went over Colossians and Galatians to show you the appearance of religious spirits in Scripture. And then we said that we went to Deuteronomy 21, where we showed you that rebellion leads to bondage. The bondage spoken of there was gluttony and alcoholism. So if you stay in rebellion, you will come into bondage. There's another bondage that is spoken of in the Bible, and that's bondage to fear. And Jesus said, I did not give you a spirit of bondage again to fear. Unsaved people are in bondage to fear. Fear of dying. Hebrews said, the fear of death. All your life you fear death. But he sent a spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We know that we have a Father in heaven, that we're not rejected and unwanted children. And so, today I'm going over this because recapitulation is a good part of learning. Now, bondage will lead you into drugs, which is sorcery, and you can have bondage to witchcraft here. And we're going to talk about the Hittite spirits. You see, your inheritance from Adam is a Canaanite, being despised or rejected. Your mother was a Hittite, your father was an Amorite. Hittite means fear or terror. And how does fear manifest in your life? Well, it manifests a lot of ways. The worst way, the most common way it manifests, is fear of being rejected. Fear of not being good enough. Fear of not being loved. And that's the bondage to fear he talks about. If you have a father who was raised in the old Germanic school, in the school where men were macho, and he never expressed love for you. He never said to you, I love you. It's not because he didn't love you. It's because his father never said it to him. And he has a hard time saying it to his wife. Well, she knows I love her. I pay her bills, don't I? When I come home every night and bring a paycheck every week, that's enough. Because he's never had love or acceptance. And so, kids grew up fearing him. Because he's never expressed love. And he controls his children. He's stubborn and proud. He has a witchcraft spirit. And he controls his children by bondage to fear. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being good enough. You know, that's okay, but you know, if you just done this over him, you know, he just needs a little bit more. And this over here is not, just a little bit more over there. It'd been all right. It's, you know, you did okay, but it's not quite good enough. And so you have a child, or wife, who's always striving to be perfect. After all, if I am perfect, can't be criticized. And as they grow up into their job, they make excellent bookkeepers, make excellent secretaries, receptionists. Everything's written down. Keep everything perfectly and in order. But they constantly fear is that they're going to forget something. It's got to be done exactly right. And then you see, if they're doing real good and they're keeping those books and they're balancing just right, or they're keeping that appointment book just right and it's just right, you got this poor little fire clerk over here who ain't got that compulsive spirit. Well, I told you to set it up this way. Well, look, you haven't made, I told you to cross that, make that way. See, so we can recognize. See how much better it is? And on and on and on. And the poor little fire clerk says, my God, get me out of here. Lord, boy, this woman drives me crazy. But I need the job. I got to feed my children, pay my babysitter. And so these people are perfectionistic. And they are nitpicking, critical, intolerant. Why, I'm perfect. Why can't you be? And then over here, you see they got that little tail goes out. They got rage. And they get angry. It all comes because of fear of being rejected. Now, what is rejection? Rejection is a denial of love. Acceptance. Love. Now, if you cannot get, and you're afraid that you're not going to ever be loved, and there's a hole in your heart that can be only filled with love. Now, that the only thing that can fill that is God's love. It can't be filled any other way. But it's there. It's a big old hole. It's a chasm. And if you don't know the loving relationship of a father, it's very hard for you to accept God's love. It's hard for you to envision anybody would love you but yourself alone. Just love you. Unconditionally love you. You never receive that from you, any from your earthly father. You earthly never receive that from anybody. And the relationship that a child has with the father, God the Father, is based on the relationship they have with their father. If they know father around, or if he's withdrawn and distant and demanding, that's the way they view God. And they've got to be someplace to get that love. And so they turn to the world. Now let's look at 1 John. Chapter 2, verse 15, 16, and 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now keep your finger there, and let's go to 1 John 5:19. Just turn over one page, chapter 5, verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. Lies under the sway of the wicked one. Or lies in wickedness, depending on which translation you got. Jesus said, the devil is the god of this world. Amen. And Brother Pittman defined for you what that term meant in Greek. Magistrate, potentate, high potentate, ruler, magistrate, high potentate. That means ruler, boss of this world. Now, who is lord of this world? Jesus Christ. But the devil controls the world system. But you are not of the world. Your citizenship has been taken out of the world and placed in the kingdom of light. You are ambassadors of the Most High God to the world. You know the nice thing about an ambassador? The ground that he lives on belongs to his kingdom. You know, you go up to Washington and you have got the Iranian ambassador lives up there. And he's got a residence. And that's considered part of Iran. The United States government can't send the police in there. When the Ayatollah invaded the Iranian embassy in Tehran and took all the people hostage, that was an act of war, an invasion of this country. We did not respond to it. We should have. We should have mobilized every armed forces we had and gone over there. Amen. And said, if you don't turn them loose, we're going to destroy everything you got. Absolutely. That's what we should have done.
Amen.
But, praise the Lord, they let us rub their nose in the face. Praise God. Hallelujah. We pay for it. But, anyway, it's nice to be able to second guess when you don't have the responsibility and you don't have to make decisions. But we could have. That was legal, our legal right. Now, fear will give you compulsive confession. Look at 1 Samuel 24:17. Okay, let's go. Let's go on. I'm getting away from myself here. Let's go on with the lust of the world first. Now, the lust of the world, all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Lust, we looked at 1 John. Now, let's look at Romans 1:21. Remember now, Romans 1:21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him in God, neither were they thankful, but came futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They went into fantasy. Lots of people, when they turn to the world for love, will go into fantasy. And they'll say, you know, if I could just make $1 million, people would love me. Man, if I was in charge of that president of the bank, people would respect me. They'd love me. If I was a rich man and could give away a lot of money, people would love me. If I had a beautiful voice and I could sing or dance and be on the stage, people would love me. And so they look for love in the world system. And they find lust. What you lust for? You lust for things. Just buy enough things to make you happy. Have a big car, a big house, jewelry, things. Things don't make you happy, people. That's the lust of the eye that can be seen. What's the lust of the flesh? Well, that's eating. If I get unhappy and scared, I just eat. If my fear manifests and I get nervous, I get eat. Derek Prince used to say that the Episcopalian lady goes to the martini. The Assembly of God lady goes to the cookie jar. They're both satisfying fear, which has made them anxious and insecure and feeling inferior. Well, how does fear make you feel inferior? Let's look at the grasshopper spirit. That is in Numbers. I don't have it on my notes now. I have an old set of notes. But let's look in Numbers 22. I think it is. Mm-hmm. I think it is. Yep. When they came back, Numbers 13:33, and the children of Israel gave a bad report. They gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they spied out, saying, the land which we've gone through is spies, is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people we saw in it are men of great stature. We saw giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we are in their sight. It's a grasshopper spirit. Fear and insecurity. Insecurity. Insignificant. And so, that grasshopper spirit comes in from fear. Now, 1 John 4:18 says fear has torment. It'll torment you. And so when you get afraid, you don't feel unloved. Something has happened. Someone has spoken unkindly to you. Maybe you had a confrontation with one of your children, or a neighbor has said something unkind. Or something that you have taken as unkind. You know, maybe they didn't mean it that way, but that's the way you heard it. And fear comes in. And that torments you. And you get uncomfortable. And it said, the Episcopalian lady, she'll go to the martini and have herself a drink. You know, a nice little drink make you feel better. And you know, it sort of smooths out everything, and suddenly those things don't bother you anymore. The Assembly of God lady for whom it's morally repugnant to drink alcohol will go to the cookie jar and eat a cookie, a little sugar. The Episcopalian lady becomes an alcoholic. Assembly of God lady becomes overweight. Both have problems that are very difficult to deal with. And the base root, fear and rebellion. Either one. Generally, they go together. It's like a windsock caught in the wind. Fear drives rebellion, and rebellion drives fear. It just goes round and round and round. And so, you have no love, you're looking for love, and you're trying to find it in the world. Well, you can turn to sexual immorality. After all, that is what television tells you love is. And so you go look for love in all the wrong places, down at the bar. Or maybe at the church social. I remember a young man I had in my Bible study. He came in, and he'd been there about a week. Second week, a couple of the young ladies came to me and complained of the suggestions he had made to them. And I had him go into the pastor's office with me and talk to him. And he said, well, God has promised to meet all my needs. God knows I have sexual needs. He's not provided me with a wife, but he's provided me with these girls to meet my sexual needs. You know what I said to him? Don't let the door hit you in the rear end on the way out. I said, you get your fan. You know, I said, that's the most ridiculous. Well, I think I said, get out of him. And I will tell all these girls not to even speak to you. And I will tell everybody in the church what you said. I said, that's the most perverted thing I've ever heard. Now, you get out of here. Don't let the door hit you in the... And I can't say on tape what I said. I'm afraid that I'd use an unchristian term. And he got up and left. He went to another church. I don't know what he did over there. I told the pastor. The pastor said he's going to call the other pastor and tell him. I don't know if he did or not. Because they're afraid about being sued, you know. But fear, the lack of love, will drive you into pornography. It will drive you into self-gratification. Sexual self-gratification. That has another term. I'm sure all of you know what it means. There are all kinds of sexual toys on the market that you can buy to do this. Down at the adult store down there. The adult novelty store. And so you get into... And this is a bondage. They are demons by that name. Amen. Now just remember this, that Jesus said that if you commit fornication in your mind, you're guilty of the sin. And you cannot masturbate unless you sexually fantasize. And so you're guilty. You're guilty of the sin of fornication. It's a self-gratification. It's selfish. Self-gratifying. And it is a trap. I've been to people who've been stuck on the internet for hours at a time in pornography. One man ran up $5,000 in bills calling the 900 numbers and ran off and left his wife with the bill. I told her to, they threatened to take a phone out. And I said, well, I'll tell you what you do. What you do is you just go down and talk to the attorney general about it. Tell him you're going to write the attorney general of the state. And they canceled the bill. Said, your husband ran it up. He's gone. He's a sexual addict. And he's gone. And you're divorcing him. And that you don't think you ought to be billed for his addiction. And that you're an innocent spouse. And if they take your phone out, you're going to write the attorney general. And he's going to stop the 900 numbers in the state. Now, they're very sensitive to that. But that's what happens. And what happens, it's fear. Fear, because you don't feel loved. Denial of love. And you're looking for something to fill that love. Okay? That's the lust of the flesh. There are lots of other manifestations that I won't go into. You have people who are rejected, who manifest by becoming nymphomaniacs. When they get rejected, they just look for somebody to have an intercourse with them, to say they love them. And after a while, a bondage demon comes in. And you have men that, that's all they do. That's all they ever think about. And the bondage spirit comes into them, and they become very seductive. The thing about it, of course, is that these spirits work through familiar spirits. Rape spirits work that way too. You have that spirit in you, and you walk into a bar, and your familiar spirit will hook up and look around, and you'll pick up on a woman over there who has this feminine spirit. I was telling this, and this old boy looked at me and said, Doc, was that the reason back in my high days before I got saved I could always walk into the bar, I always knew which women wanted to make? He said, I could look around, I could just tell which ones I could make out with. I said, yeah, that's it. And so this is all because of a lack of love, a denial of love. Only the Father can feel the love. Now, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Well, if I just have a big house up on the hill and a big fine car and a fur coat, if I'm just president of the bank, or if I'm a professor, or I'm a doctor, or a lawyer, and have prestige within the community. That will fill me. Doesn't do it. Doesn't work. And these people are never satisfied. They're always striving. And because then they will try to control people in that people's lives. Because they become proud. And so they will use witchcraft to control people around them. Because they have fear that they're not being loved. Now, you can get one of compulsive confession. What's that? That's somebody who goes out and sins and goes out and tells everybody about it. Yeah. You know what it is? Yeah. And they will confess their sin. That's a way of getting attention, isn't it? Huh? Don't that get your attention? Yeah. Let's look at 1 Samuel here. 24:17. Here Samuel has been out chasing David, and he has a call of nature. And so there's a cave over there. He goes in the cave and lifts his skirts. And while he's back there, lifting his skirts, David sneaks up behind him and cuts off a piece of his... They all said, go kill him, David. David wouldn't kill God's anointed. And so then David was... It pricked his conscience, so he went outside and said, Saul, see, if I wanted to kill you, I'd have killed you. See, I could have killed you. And Saul then lifts up and begins to cry and confesses to David. It's compulsive confession. It's not repentance, because he doesn't turn from chasing David. He keeps right on trying to kill him. But suddenly he's got attention. Oh, yes, David, you're more righteous than I. Yes. He said, you are more right, for you reward me with good, whereas I reward you with evil. And he goes on and said, now I know that indeed you shall surely be king, and the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Now swear by me that you won't cut off my descendants. This is the reason David was very careful not to kill Saul's descendants. And when they brought the head of Saul's son to him, he killed the men who did it. And so that's compulsive confession. And lots of times when we get into deliverance, you'll have somebody who wants to confess all these terrible sins. But you get them to repent and cover them with the blood, but they won't tell you about them in absolute detail for hours. That's compulsive confession. That's the demon talking. What you need to do is bind the demon of compulsive confession and cast him out. Now, look at 1 Samuel 22:7-8. And here we find... It's a lying spirit, compulsive confession, lying spirit, yeah. That's called vain imaginations. I mean, you make up things to get attention. Okay. Here is the spirit of self-pity. And Saul's still afraid that David is going to be king. And he's chasing him. And he's talking to his men. And Saul said to his servants who stood about him, now here, you Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds? All you have conspired against me. No one reveals to me that my son made a covenant with the Jesse. There is not one of you who is sorry for me or reveals to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as he is this day. Okay? There you have, number one, paranoia. And number two, self-pity, coming out of fear. He's afraid that David's going to take his throne. And unfairness. He's accusing his servants of being unfair to him. So self-pity. Pride can bring self-pity in too. Self-pity is a terrible spirit. You get to feeling sorry for yourself. This is a real problem with most alcoholics and most drug addicts. And most people who are in bondage, whether you're in bondage to drugs or alcohol or food, you feel sorry for yourself. Feel like you've been unfairly treated. And in some cases, you have been unfairly treated. Some cases, the things that happened to you weren't fair and terrible. But I'm going to tell you, you don't want to get revenge for them. You want to forgive if you want to come out of them. You want to stay there and wallow in your self-pity, then you can do that. I once had a friend who had been through a divorce. He was bitter. He'd been addicted to pain medication, to Percodan, to morphine. He'd been an alcoholic. He came back and got straightened out, fell off the wagon, and they did an intervention and put him back in the alcoholic unit. And God said to me, go down there and tell him to quit feeling sorry for himself, to get rid, cast that spirit of self-pity out of him, and tell him to start looking to the future and quit looking back in the past and feeling sorry about the bad things that happened to him. And so I went by to see this 6'2", 3 feet across the shoulder gentleman, and he was smiling until I said, you know, John, you're not going to get well until you get that spirit of self-pity out of you.
What do you mean? You think I'm crying in my beer?
Yeah. I said, you're feeling sorry for yourself for all the bad things that happened in the past, and you keep dwelling on them, and you use that as an excuse to stay drunk. I said, now you're going to have to put your hand to the plow and quit looking back and go forward. Now I want to cast that demon of self-pity out of you, and I bind him in the name of Jesus and command him to leave right now. And I said, I want you to leave before I hit you. And I bind this spirit of violence too. And so I left. He's getting really upset. I left. And I didn't see him again for about 2 weeks. And he came up, and he came in my office and said, he won't talk to me. I said, okay, come on in. He said, I came by, he was crying. He said, I want to apologize to you. He said, God spoke to me that night and said, how dare you threaten my prophet I sent by to tell you the truth. He said, you know, when I started thinking about it, you were absolutely right. And he said, that night those things came out of me. And he said, I'm free. And I said, that is wonderful. That's wonderful. I said, you got a good woman, you take care of her. And he still is. But he had self-pity, unfairness, and bitterness. Bitter, angry, and feeling sorry for himself, and self-pity, unfairness. And that will all bring, all comes out of fear and pride. Remember that fear and pride are like the wind sack. They go round and round and round. Fear is what goes down into you. Pride is what comes out of you. Okay? Now, let's look at Proverbs 12:25. Proverbs 12:25. And what does it say here? Anxiety, that's fear, in the heart of man causes depression. You want to know what causes heaviness? Fear. Now, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind, of self-control. That will give you a spirit of fear that brings you into heaviness. God said he gave you the oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise, gave you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so what you do is you stop being afraid. You say, God, I bind fear. And start praising God. But he gave you the spirit. He gave you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Y'all know where that is? It's in Isaiah chapter 60. Let's look at it. Isaiah chapter 60. 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the prisoners of war, the opening of prison for those who are bound, to slay an acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That God may be glorified. It is not to God's glory for you to walk around with a long face. Oh, God. He's given you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So praise him. Praise him. And bind fear. Know why you're depressed. It's fear, despondency, despair, and suicide come out of it. Terror will lead bondage to drugs. Look at Psalms 104:15. Wine makes the heart glad. That's in Proverbs it says, don't drink the wine when it's red and sparkling in the cup and goes down so well. Or you will see strange things and you will stagger like you're on the top of the mast and you shall fall out, and when you wake, you'll say, give me another drink.
You hear folks talk about a little wine for your stomach, that means it's okay. That's one of the things it says about wine. It also says that wine will make the heart glad. And so you start drinking wine when you get fearful. You delay on the wine to make your heart glad. You got yourself a crutch. And the more you use a crutch, the more you become its slave. And you will be in bondage to it. Did you know that if you have no history of alcoholism in your family, and you start drinking beer when you're a teenager in high school, the chances of you becoming an alcoholic, according to the AMA, is 1 chance in 8. According to AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, it's 1 in 6. Now, if you have a first-degree relative on your father's side, that means your father or any of his brothers or grandparent who's an alcoholic, then your chances of becoming alcoholic drops to 1 in 4. If you have a first-degree relative on your mother's side in addition to that one, that's your mother, her brothers or sisters, her parents or grandparents, you're down to a chance 1 in 2. Now, you would think that people who had alcohol, had lived with alcoholics, who lived with alcoholics, you know, and who've seen the mess and the sorrow and the pain that it causes, I don't know of anything that's caused as much sorrow and pain in this world. I don't even think those people who dealt in human slavery caused as much sorrow and pain as the people who sell alcohol and cigarettes for commercial profit. And I think that when they stand before the great white throne, I think they're going to be shocked. Because they have profited off of human soul, the suffering of human soul. Maybe I'm being a little harsh, but someday we'll see. I just look at all the suffering and pain I see from it today. All the people trapped in bondage and the degrading things they are forced into to support their drug habits, to support their alcoholic habits, the selling of their bodies, stealing, things that they resort to support it. The degradation is on a scale in this country is unimaginable. Just unimaginable. Praise you, Lord Jesus. One thing that, let's look at 1 Samuel 24:16 now. I'm getting on my soapbox about alcohol and tobacco. 1 Samuel 24:16. We've looked at that once before. Look at it from a different... When David finished speaking, Saul said, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" He lifted up his head and he wept. That's false compassion. That's false compassion. Now, you see this a lot in people who've been denied love. They will have compassion. They will pick up some cause. And you've got the tree huggers who are going into the forest and nailing spikes in somebody else's property so he can't use it, so they can't cut the trees down. You know, I would feel very badly if someone went into my property in Alabama, the old pine plantation where we grow trees and cut them down and plant new trees and drove spikes in those trees and told us that we couldn't do it because they're such pretty trees and the deer live there and the squirrel live there and so forth. But we have people who do that. We have people who are so concerned about tadpoles and crawfish that they want to stop a big dam. They got somebody worried about rats out there in California, this wonderful little rare rat, that they tell this poor Chinaman that he can't farm his property that his family's farmed for 100 years. Suddenly he can't farm it anymore because there are a few rats around there that are rare rats. And that's compassion on them rats. You got people who run the anti-vivisection society and run up to some lady who's wearing a mink coat, which is made out of ranch mink, not trapping mink out in the wild. The only reason these mink are alive is to make that fur and spray it with paint. How many little mink sacrifice their life so you have that coat? Well, I don't particularly care anything about mink coats, but
if that's, you know. But this person has got this false compassion for those ranch mink. You got people who won't eat red meat because... I just remember the lady that came up to Babette and said, How many mink you think had to sacrifice so you could have that coat? Babette said, well, I don't know. This coat's made out of acrylic. I don't know how many of the little acrylics they had to kill. And she said, looked at her and said, I see them leather shoes you wearing there. How many cows you think they had to murder for you to get them shoes? And I saw you eating beefsteak last night at the country club. What about that cow they had to shoot for you to eat that beefsteak? The lady sort of retreated, you know, and I said, Babette, that don't look like a cook. She said, it's not, it's ranch meat, but she don't know any better. But this is a woman who had false compassion. I mean, she's got a lot of other problems. And, you know, and she is, that's false compassion. Inordinate affection for animals comes under false compassion. People who just treat their animals better than humans. Mm-hmm. And, that's because of the denial of love, because they fear, because they're afraid. Fear comes in because they haven't. And the only thing that will drive out that fear is love. Let's look at 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18. Starting with verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we will have the boldness in the day of judgment, because He is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. The perfect love of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Father, of the Father's love, the unconditional love of the Father drives out fear. And I used to pray for people. I said, Lord, let them have a revelation of the Father's love. And one day I said, Father, why is it so many of these people never get a revelation of Your love? And He gave me 1 John 2:16. So let's turn over to 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the Father is not in him. And let's go to James 4:4. And look at... James 4:4, adulterers and adulteresses. Now, those are pretty strong terms. See, loving the world is idolatry. And God considers idolatry spiritual adultery. And so He says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes him an enemy of God. So if you love the world, or the things in the world, you're going to have trouble receiving God's love. Okay? Yeah. Y'all hear me now? I don't want to be too hard on you. I'm just reading the Bible to you. Come on, brother. Now, you have to ask God to deliver you from the love of the world. You have to ask God to deliver you from greed. Now, I was ruled by greed for years. In 1976, I made a $250,000 a year. That was when you could see the doctor for $15. That's what an office call costs, $16, $15. Mm-hmm. What do you cost now? $7,500? Mm-hmm. So you get an idea of the volume of money that I made. I desired to be rich, and it was a sure road to perdition. And when I got convicted of it, I said, God, how'd I get out of this? Because, you see, He cut a hole in the bottom of the sack. As fast as I shoveled it in, it ran out. You know how much money you make, it's how much you spend. Income tax were very high then. And God said, you give it away. Give it away? And so I did. I gave it all away. I paid my debts. Put my children through school. Supported my ex-wife who divorced me because she didn't like that idea. And we had lots of problems, as many mine as they were hers. But we had to separate. I supported her, put my boys through school, and gave the rest of it away, and lived in an 8x10 room. And drove a 4-year-old car,
And I lived like that for a long time. Everybody thought I was an extremely wealthy man. I gave away so much money. I left town. Everybody thought I left town rich. There was a no largesse. They asked my son, well, did you just tap the no largesse? And my son just smiled. And he flew up from, flew across Kansas in a private plane, and he hitchhiked, and spent one of his parishioners told me he was going to, and so he flew up on the private plane, and they thought he'd charged it. They said, we just figured you tapped the no largesse and charged it. And he just smiled. But this man said, don't say you give away so much money. My needs are very simple. If you've got food on your back, in your belly, clothes on your back, and a place to sleep, what more can you want? What more do you need? And that has been my life since then. I don't want anything. I have all I need. I don't love the world. I don't want anything. Except enough to do my ministry. I have a lot of things I'd like to give money to. Unfortunately, I'm just not making enough just to meet all the needs I'd like to give away. The more you make, the more you can give away. But God said, I hadn't called you to give to those things. If I had, I'd give you the money. Okay, Lord. And so, if you love the world, the love of the Father isn't in you. And you want to get rid of fear, you need to make an inventory of your life. And let God show you whether or not you love the world. Were you greedy or not? Well, you got an evil eye. You know it says your eye be evil? That's a greedy eye. A good eye is a bountiful eye that gives. A greedy eye is a stingy eye that doesn't give anybody anything. Closes his hand. Jesus illustrated that very carefully in the parable of the workers in the vineyard. You know, he picked up some, that man picked up some early in the morning, some at 9 o'clock, some at 12 o'clock, some at 3 o'clock, some at 5 o'clock. And they all worked, and he gave them all the same. And those that came first got really hacked off, man. And he said to them, what did he say? He said, can't I do with, he said, is your eye evil towards me? Can't I do with my money as I see? So, you know, you've got what you agreed on. That's what you agreed for. And he says, is your eye evil towards me because I want to, what I want to do with my money? And these people, they demanded more. They were stingy. They felt they should have gotten more. Greedy. Stingy, greedy eye.
That was the first union.
Well, Glenn, I can tell you a story about the union, but I won't do that today. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
I'll tell you this. You depend on big business. They'll have you working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, for 2 cents a day if they could. They tell you they'll have you slaving for 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, and making just enough to live in a hovel down there and have a little gruel to eat, and wearing threads. That's what big business will do, so they can live up in the big castle. Hallelujah. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. And so you have to, but as my uncle said, the pendulum swung a little far right now, but it's going to come back. I criticized the union to him, and he put me in my place. I'll always remember that. That was what he said to me. And I always looked at it, and I said, you know, he's right. And I've never been critical of the union since. And I carried my union card. I carried my plumber's card. I'm not a plumber anymore, but I was then. Now, praise God, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I say this to you. You need to look at your life and ascertain around you. Do you love the world? Has fear... Fear of not being loved, not being wanted, not being accepted, cause symptoms in your life, cause compulsive behavior that you can't control. Has it caused you to have bad headaches in the back of your neck? Has it caused you to have your blood pressure go up? Have your heart rate speed up? My brother talked about the hypothalamus. Stimulating the adrenal medulla to put out more adrenaline to make your blood pressure go up, make your heart rate go up because you're fearful. You don't think you're loved. You don't think you're good enough. It causes compulsive behavior that as a way of obtaining, trying to obtain acceptance and love. Cause you to try to eat more. Cause you to go to the martini bottle or to the nerve pill. Or go to the psychiatrist and he tells you you're bipolar and puts you on all kind of medicine and puts you on a little Prozac. And the Prozac causes some side effects.
And then he gives you some more medicine for the side effects. And then they cause some more side effects. And before you know it, you're on about four different pills. And you're in bondage to the druggist. And what you need to know is that you're loved. But you've got a Father in heaven that loves you. And you're loving the world. You think if you just buy enough nice things to make you happy. Or if you just obtain a position of prominence. Or you can gain control over other people. But they'll have to love you. It calls you to withdraw. Be a loner. Saul sat under the pear tree by himself. He drew off to himself. Get the spirit of the loner. Just play by yourself all the time. That way nobody can hurt you. You've been hurt? Nobody's going to hurt me like that again. I'm going to play over here by myself. Those little boys rejected me. They wouldn't have anything to do with me. They told me that they didn't want anything to do with me. They ain't going to hurt me like that again. I'm just going to play over here by myself. Nobody going to ever hurt me again. I just... You grow up that way. You build a wall around your heart. If you can't receive love, and your wife doesn't understand what's wrong with you, because you can't receive love from her. You're distant, withdrawn. She feels like she's trying to love a chair or a broomstick. Oh? The husband feels like he's trying to love a broomstick. Because you're afraid, that fear in there, that if he gets close to me, then he's going to hurt me, then he's going to leave me and divorce me, and I'll be all alone again. I said, what's that cause? It causes divorce. I'm going to divorce him before he divorces me and hurts me. Spirit of divorce comes in. And that hole doesn't get full. You have to break that wall down. He himself is our peace, it says in Ephesians. He himself, Jesus Christ, is our peace. And he has broken down the wall of division. He breaks down the wall that divides you. And he'll push down that wall if you'll let him. He won't do it if you won't let him. You've got to ask him to. Touch me, Lord. Give me a tender heart. One that you withdraw in that corner and you become a loner and you don't grow up. You get arrested in your development and you stay a little child. You're withdrawn, scared. You don't become perfect in love, mature. And so you stay emotionally at 10 years of age. Temper tantrums, fits, withdrawal because of fear. Spirit of schizophrenia will come in. Bipolar, double-minded. Pride on one side and fear on the other. Hallelujah. I'm sure I've left out something. Praise your Lord. That's because of the adrenaline. Fear stimulates fear. It's a flight or fight syndrome. Fear stimulates the hypothalamus, which stimulates the adrenal medulla, releases adrenaline into your bloodstream. It makes your heart speed up and pound. Yeah. Rebuke fear. Your love. Okay, let's everybody stand up. Just move around a little bit and praise the Lord and get the blood circulating out of your feet and back up into your brain. You know, it's said that the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. That's because all the blood settles down in your legs and your fanny. You need to get it up. Get the blood back up. Hallelujah. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. All righty. Dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
I love you.
Lord
Jesus.
I believe
that Jesus Christ of Nazareth
is the Son of God.
He was manifested in the flesh. He died on the cross for my sin. He ascended into heaven.
He
rose from the dead for my justification. He ascended into heaven. Sits on the right hand of the Father. Ever to make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. I am a child of God.
I am not of this world.
I'm in this world, but not of it.
My citizenship
is in the kingdom of light.
Kingdom of
I'm an ambassador of the Most High God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that the angels have come to defend me. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I confess the sins of my fathers. I confess my sin. I confess the sin of idolatry, incest, illegitimacy, fornication, whoredom, vagabond, rejection, pride and arrogance. I break the curses of these sins and command the demons to leave me now. In Jesus' name. I speak to fear. Fear, you have no place in me. For it is written in 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. God did not send me a spirit of bondage again to fear, but He sent a spirit of adoption. And I can cry, Abba, Father. Thank you, Lord, you're in my heart. I'm an adopted child of God. I am not an unwanted child. I'm not a rejected child. I'm a child of the living God. I forgive my father. I forgive my mother for not expressing love to me. I bless them. In Jesus' name, I break any ungodly soul ties. And I release them to God. In the name of Jesus. I call back my soul. In the name of Jesus. Be restored. I release any foreign soul in me. Command it to go. In Jesus' name. I forgive. Anybody who's ever hurt me, rejected me, mistreated me, in the name of Jesus, I forgive anyone I have resentment against. I ask God to bless them. I forgive myself, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Set me free from fear. Fear of being alone. Fear of not being loved. Fear of growing old alone. I bind these fears. In the name of Jesus. I bind them. Command them to leave me. In the name of Jesus. For it is written in Joel 2:32. Anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Leave me now. In the name of Jesus. Everybody can sit down now. Praise your name. Okay, fear. You just come out of them now in the name of Jesus. Don't you tear them. I bind fear of not being loved, fear of not being wanted, fear of not being good enough in the name of Jesus. Fear of being alone. I bind the loner spirit in the name of Jesus. I bind the tormenting spirits, all the spirits that would torment people at night, all insomnia spirits, all bad dream spirits, all nightmare spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind familiar spirits of fear in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits that have come down through the family line. I bind you and I isolate you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to leave. I loose you from your assignment on these people now and forever from their family line. I command you to go, all spirits of fear, all witchcraft fear in the name of Jesus Christ, all fear from curses in Jesus' name. I command you to come out on them in the name of Jesus. I bind all spirits of rejection, fear of being rejection, fear of not being wanted, fear of not being good enough. I say, leave now. All you Canaanite spirits, all you Hittite spirits, leave in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. I bind the spirits of perfectionism in the name of Jesus, intolerance, imperfection, critical, anger and rage. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. I bind all spirits of criticism now. Criticism, better than thou spirits. I bind all spirits of lust, the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. I bind all lusting spirits, all spirits of lusting after things, the things of the world. Come out. I bind the spirits of the things of the world, all witchcraft spirits. I bind you, and I say, be gone now. All desire for things, things, come out in the name of Jesus. Big house, big car, big boat, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Big gun, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go, big dog, in the name of Jesus Christ. All you big spirits, come out. All you fine spirits, come out. All you hunting dog spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, come out, come out. Come out, best hunting dog in town. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, hunting dog spirits, in the name of Jesus. I come out, all you hunting spirits. Now, all you macho spirits, come out. All you trapping spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against all you seductive spirits in the name of Jesus. All you spirits of seduction, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I break your power of seduction. All seduction spirits, come out. All spirits of the shapely body, come out. All sexual seduction spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All fornicating spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. 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 All lust spirits, all pornography spirits, come out. Bondage to pornography, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. 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 Out in the name of Jesus. All self-pleasuring spirits, come out. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. Come on out of there. All spirits of false compassion, compulsive confession, I bind you and I break your power. All spirits of heaviness, bipolar, schizophrenia, come out, come out. Schizophrenia spirits, paranoia spirits, bipolar spirits, I bind you and I break your power. I break the curse that's been said. You got bipolar, you'll have it all your life. I break that curse. You got schizophrenia, you'll have it all your life. I bind it and I break it in Jesus' name. I command it to go, go, go. I come against spirits of addiction to food now, addiction to food, addiction to wine, addiction to drugs, addiction to alcohol. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go, go. Addiction to the beauty parlor. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Clothes horse. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All you clothes horses, come out. Spirits of the clothes horse. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, clothes horse. In the name of Jesus. Come out. 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 Clothes horse. Come out. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. 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 In Jesus' name. I bind you and I break your power. And I speak healing to God's people now. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. I come against all spirits of fear now. All spirits of fear that cause ulcers in the stomach. Cause gastroesophageal reflex. Come out. Come out, all stomach ulcers, all duodenal ulcers, come out. All colitis in the name of Jesus, all duodenitis, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power and I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Go, go in Jesus' name. Go, go in Jesus' name. I bind you and I break your power. Come out, gas in the stomach. Come on out, irritable colon syndrome. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, irritable colon syndrome. Come out, Crohn's disease, enteritis. Come out, come out. Excessive gas, ulcerative colitis, mucoid colitis. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All of you, come out. Panic syndrome, panic attacks. Come out, come out. I speak to panic attacks in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind panic attacks, hyperventilation attacks in the name of Jesus. I break the power of panic attacks, hyperventilation attacks. Come out, hyperventilation attacks, panic attacks. Come out. Nail biting, come out, come out. Nail biting in the name of Jesus, come out. Gum chewing, cigarette smoking, tobacco chewing, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I bind bondage now. Bondage to nail biting in the name of Jesus. Bondage to beauty parlors in the name of Jesus, come out. Bondage to false nails in the name of Jesus. Bondage, come out, come out, come out, come out. All false hair coloring, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All wigs, come out. All hair transplants, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you. Put folks in bondage, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, 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 out. In God's people. Hallelujah. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Spend all the money. Come out in the beauty parlor. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, I break, come out, all the wig spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, 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 out. All jewelry spirits, come out now. Gotta have jewelry, come out now. Come out, 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 come out. All the jewelry spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Go, go, all big gun spirits, gotta have 10 shotguns, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Gotta have 4 hunting dogs, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go. Go, I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. You turn God's people loose. Gotta have a big four-wheel drive to go in the woods. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, hunting spirits. I bind the hunting spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. The bass boat spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Out, 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 out. Leave now. Macho spirits, I bind you. Seduction spirits, I bind you, and I break your power. I command you to go. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You'll laugh about those spirits, but that's real. They are real.
Amen.
And all of you know somebody's an addiction to every one of them. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I bind those things. They are as addicting, as destructive as alcohol. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of them. In Jesus' name. I break the power of them in Jesus' name. Lord, let your spirit come down. Oh, God, let them come down. Let your love come down, Lord God. Lord, I speak the love of God now. I speak the love of God, Lord. He loves you just like you are. He died for you. He died for all the bald-headed men. In the name of Jesus. He died for all the men with receding hairlines. Hallelujah. He loved them. One of his prophets was bald-headed. Praise you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, he died for them. I bind all teeth problems now. All carious teeth. All gingivitis. Come out. All gingivitis. All carious teeth. In the name of Jesus, all pyrrhea, I bind you. You can't steal God's children's teeth anymore. I break your power now. You can't give them bad breath. In the name of Jesus, I break your power. Come on out. Root canals, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Command you to leave now in Jesus' name. Go! Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. I speak healing to God's people now. Healing to asthma, healing to emphysema, healing to lung problems in the name of Jesus, healing to stomach problems, healing to urinary tract problems in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let your healing grace come down. I speak healing now in the name of Jesus Christ. Healing. I bind the chronic fatigue syndrome. I bind the chronic pain syndrome. Chronic pain in the name of Jesus. I break its power. I speak healing to God's children. Lord, let your healing come down. Everybody hold up their hand. Let your healing come down. Lord, I call back all the souls. I speak healing to the wounded spirits in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to wounded spirits. All those who never knew the Father's love, that never had a loving father or mother, I speak healing to them now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak the healing love of God. Let your love come down, Lord. Let it come down, Lord. Come down more, Lord. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Stand up. Glory crowd's about halfway down. Stand up and put your hands up in there. Oh, God, we praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. Let your love come down, Lord. Let your love come down and touch your people, Lord. Oh, God. Let the glory cloud come down so the people couldn't stand, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you and we praise you and bless you, Lord. Heal your people, Lord. Heal your people, Lord. I speak wisdom and knowledge to them now, Lord God. I speak the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, Lord, that they will know, that they will know that they've been accepted in the Beloved, Lord. That they are children of the living God, Lord. Oh, God, let your love drive out all fear, Lord. Drive out all pride, Lord. Break up the Amorites' castles, Lord. Bring up the Amorites and the Hittites, Lord. And drag them out, Lord. Let their war angels come and tie them in chains and haul them off. In the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Bless the food, Lord. Lord, we just ask you to bless the food now, Lord. And we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are hundreds of free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.